Hello, everybody. Welcome. It's Joanna. So happy to be here with all of you today. We're going to spend most of our time today looking at the energy of summer and the archetype of the lover. I can't believe we're already in week 4 of Sacred Rhythms, and just as we start, I really wanted to honor each one of you for continuing to show up, for sticking with it and with the process, for doing the work. This isn't easy work that we're doing together. It can be hard and even annoying at times, but it's such important work. It can open up so much and give us so many more opportunities. And I know with everything going on in the world right now, it's so easy to become disengaged with things. I see it, you know, for myself too. And the fact that you're here, you're continuing to show up for yourself, for your soul work, it just says so much. I really want to honor you. And I also just wanted to say how wonderful it's been to not only connect with you on our calls, but it's been so wonderful to connect with those of you that have been posting in the Facebook group in between our sessions. The shares there have been so beautiful, and it's really just, I love to read through them and to respond and continue to hold the space in between our sessions and see how you're holding the space for each other. So I know that not everybody is a Facebook social media person, and of course I honor you any way that you show up here in this course, and I trust that you're showing up exactly as you need to, no matter what. All right, a couple of pieces I wanted to make sure that I mentioned before we look at the energy of the summer. And one is just to speak a little bit about the practical application of all the work that we're doing here in Sacred Rhythms. You know, we're doing a lot of inner work. And so I wanted to speak just a little bit about, like, okay, so what are the practical applications of this work in our lives? How do we actually take it from inner work into seeing things shift, not just in terms of inner awareness, but on the inner level and then on the outer level too, if we want that to happen. So one of the ways or one of the things that you can do is to connect in with the appropriate archetypal energy as you're about to take an action or at the start of a day where you want to take specific actions. So, for example, if you're about to let go of something or you need the courage to let go of something, connect in with the destroyer right before you send the email or at the beginning of that day or whatever it is, dialogue with the destroyer, right? Get that, you really lean into the energy of the archetype to help you through the action. Or if you're about to start something new, like let's say you've decided you want to plant a seed with social media and you want to start up an Instagram account, connect in with the Fool or with spring energy as you put your profile together for the account, right? You know, as you're getting it set up, ask the Fool what it wants you to know about setting it up or what kind of energy it wants you to move forward with as you set it out or as you reach out to a new prospect or whatever it is, right? So, the work that we're doing here isn't once and done, and you now have these archetypes to use and harness in your life as you move through it. If you see that you're getting stuck in a particular phase of the cycle, a particular season, connect in with the archetype that's related to the season. See if it can give you wisdom and motivation and courage to move forward in whatever ways that you're moving forward. So you have these archetypes and these energies to use whenever you need them. I oftentimes ask the archetypes about action steps I should be taking, right? So, you know, at the beginning of any project, as I'm laying down foundations, as I'm, you know, really starting to plant and step in, you know, I'll ask the Fool, all right, what are the foundations that you want me to set here? What are the beliefs that I need to be aware of that I might be holding as I step into this project? You tell me what I need to know. What are the specific steps that you want me to take? All right, so I hope that this is all to say that all of the inner work that we're doing is so vital. And as we do the inner work, sometimes we're ready to take outer steps based on it right away. And sometimes we need to let the inner work marinate a bit before we take the outer steps. One isn't better than the other at all, but I don't want you to forget about that, the outer action steps that you want to be taking. All right. The other piece I wanted to make sure that we looked at a little bit before diving into the summer is when we spoke about spring and the Fool last week, I spoke a little bit about how to use that phase or apply that phase and that archetype to client work, but I didn't get too much into it, and so I just wanted to share a couple of pieces, right? I mean, as always, it's like everything that we move through in the class, just the wisdom that you're gaining about the seasons, about the cycles, about these archetypes, about the blocks, all the things, it will inform all of your client work. It will help you be able to create awareness for clients, you know, make connections between things, spot when things are off, all of that, right? So you want to take note where clients might need an overarching spring experience, right? So do you have any clients that have maybe been in a winter phase for a while, and they're actually ready overall for a spring phase, for new energy, for rebirth, for planting, right? So take notice that. And then also for specific projects for clients. Are there any projects that clients are ready to start visioning, but it just hasn't been coming up, right? You want to take note of that and have some exploration there. Create awareness, you know, for those clients that need the overarching spring experience, or have projects that are ready to be planted, or they're planting projects and they haven't laid down a firm enough groundwork for it. Create awareness, right? Create awareness around spring. If the talk, you know, languaging around the season speaks to them, or else you can just speak about planting or initiating in general. For those of you that have been through Sacred Depths coach training, you want to use all of your mirroring techniques, your reflecting the truth techniques, your acknowledging and honoring what is techniques, as well as, you know, straight up breakthrough questioning techniques to create the awareness. Once you create awareness for your clients around what's going on as it relates to the spring, to planting, to initiation, then you can use any of the explorations that we looked at last week, right, to go deeper into it. Fear of the dark, fear of failure, fear of failing again, fear of it not being as good as the last time, the energy it'll take. You know, so you've got lots of different places where you can really go deeper, do belief work, do befriend your fear work, see how people are sabotaging themselves, you know, all of that, Okay. All right. So all that being said, one last thing before we jump into summer. We're already on class 4, so we've got just this class and next week left, so we're just about halfway done. What are you taking away so far from our time together? I'm sure there's so much, but if you could identify so far the top one or two or three things, it's always good to do like a midway point check-in. So far since we began, what are you taking away that feels most important to you? I think I mentioned this on a previous call. This is just a little kind of coaching tool note. A lot of times what happens when we teach courses, when we're coaching one-on-one, when we're coaching groups, whatever it is that there's so much learning happens, or I should say so many new things are discovered. But that's different than, you know, learning them. It's different than owning them. There's a little bit similar to breakthrough versus transformation. When we uncover a new fact or a new idea, a new piece of wisdom, it's one thing to uncover it. It's another thing to integrate it, right? And we want to do the embody work to continue to integrate it. But just by noting what we're taking away, just by having moments to take stock and say, oh, you know, this is really sitting with me. This has been resonating with me. Or, you know, that really hit me last week and I haven't thought about it for a whole week. Ah, I'm so glad I remember it now. Let me write that down. That is one of the factors that help us integrate new learnings, new ideas, new awarenesses. So for those of you that have been through Sacred Depths, you know this, but I'll share this for everybody. It's always a good reminder. At the end of every coaching session, one-on-one coaching session that I ever have with a client, I will always, at the end, even if we only have 30 seconds left, I will always take the time to ask, what are you taking away from our session today? Or how are you feeling as, you know, we wrap up for today? Or what's the most important thing, right? And I'll usually say, not the detail, you know, if we strategize things. Like, I don't want to hear about the, like, details of things we strategize, but on a deep level, what are you really taking for yourself? It's an important component to learning, and is actually very much related to the harvest, which we'll talk about next week. Okay, so whatever takeaways came through, I'd love to hear them either later on in the call when we open up for Q&A, or if you want to post them in the Facebook group. But for now, let's jump into summer. All right, so summertime. By the time you get to summer, you've moved through spring. You've set a strong foundation. You've taken the risk to start something new, a new project, a new relationship, a new habit, a new way of being. You've planted the seeds. And it was all so exciting, so thrilling, because it was new. And then you realize that just because you planted the seeds, it doesn't mean that the plants are going to come to fruition. Just because you planted the seeds, it doesn't mean the plants are going to come to fruition. Planting is one thing, but growing is a whole other thing. And that's what summer is all about. Growing. The days are the longest of the entire year, so that means that there's a ton of sunlight. It's warm. We're outside, energized by the life force of the sun, by that big ball of fire in the sky. And that energy helps us and helps the earth to do the work of growth. The sun, a source of life. The sun is dedicated. The sun is committed. The sun rises every single day. She's committed to that, to do her work, to give her sunlight as food so that the seeds get what they need to grow. The summer shines steady through the summer. And her love, and her passion, and her commitment, they pay off. The trees change because of her commitment. The plants change because of her commitment. The crops change. They all grow. They start to mature from those little seedlings. And as they start to mature, the fun and new pastel colors of the spring make way for the deeper, more robust colors of the summer. The greens get greener in the summer. The pinks get redder. Some of the flashy blossoms of the spring might fall away in summer, but what they leave behind are the sturdier, more reliable leaves and flowers of summer. The summer is not when we see most of the fruits on the trees come fully to being, ready to be picked and eaten. Nope, that's not until the harvest of the autumn. Instead, the summer is about doing the work that we know will pay off in the season to come. The sun doesn't worry about what fruit is ready to be plucked from the trees. She simply focuses on doing the work, on shining the light and the warmth, on showing up no matter what. Kind of similar to the pregnant woman who grows her baby and grows her baby for 9 months long before she sees it. What is it that keeps the sun going? What is it that keeps the pregnant woman going? Love and desire for all that the growth will turn out to be. Okay, so take a moment now and notice and jot down for yourself, how are you feeling right now as you tune in to the energy of summer and growth? Just even from this initial little introduction, what are you starting to see for yourself. I'm already starting to see just as we lean in here into summer. Okay. So all of that growth sounds, right? Like, yes, we all want to grow, right? I mean, growth is, you know, kind of like the aspiration to grow, I think, is innate, probably for all human beings. It's certainly a value in our culture right now, right? Grow, grow, grow. For better or worse, we'll get to that in a little bit. So, you know, yay, right? Yay for summer, yay for growth, all of that. But if you're here on this call, tuning into this call, you know that it's not always so easy to move through this phase, right? That growth, there can be a lot of blocks and challenges to growing something. And when you have blocks to growth, when you have summer blocks, it sometimes can feel like you just can't seem to get something to grow, to get it off the ground, to turn it into what you want it to be. And maybe if you have blocks to the summer energy, you give up too soon, or you procrastinate. Or you always seem to be focusing on actions that are misaligned for growth. They're not quite the right actions that are going to grow the thing. If you've got blocks to summer energy, you may sometimes tend to overwork, right? Like too much growth, or end up exhausted, right? And like I said earlier, you know, that we kind of see that in today's just society and culture, right? Growth, this idea of grow, 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 it's like growth gone wild. We always want more, more, more. We always want more things to be growing. In a lot of ways, we've overworked, like literally have overworked the land for the food, you know, all the things, right? Kind of trashed it in a way. Created too many things, literal objects on this earth that have created a lot of trash, you know, work too much, and then we get exhausted, on and on. Well, actually, this is going to relate a lot to next week's call with the harvest. Oftentimes, it has to also do with the harvest. So when we've got blocks to summer, it can just feel not so good, because it's like, I can't get anything to work. It's just not happening for me. Or some variation of that. So, all that being said, where in your life and in your work are you currently in a growth phase? And the more detailed you can get here, probably the better. So when I say detailed, I mean, don't just write down my business is in a growth phase. What are the specific parts of your business that are in a growth phase right now? Are you growing your visibility? Have you done some planting around your visibility and now you're growing? Are there particular visibility strategies that you're working to grow right now? Are you growing your mastery with enrollment conversations? Have you know, and again, to grow something, you need to have planted it first, right? So you know, for those of you that are in Sacred Depths, if you've never done enrollment conversations before, have you listened to the bonus 5-hour enrollment conversation workshop? That would be planting, right? And maybe doing a practice session, right? And then you might be in the growth phase. You're working with prospects. You're working to master those skills. If you're in a long-term romantic relationship, you know, you might just want to say, okay, my relationship is in a growth phase, but it could be valuable, again, to get detailed. What are the parts of the relationship or the dynamic that are in a growth phase? Maybe you're in a cycle of growth in your sex life, right? Whatever it is. So what are the places in your life and in your work, looking at this in detail, that are in a growth phase right now? Whether or not there's blocks to growth or not, it's okay. Just let's identify where you're in growth phases. I'll give you another minute with that. Maybe you're in a growth phase with a meditation practice. Maybe you've set a ground, a framework for it, groundwork. You've learned a new meditation or two. You've created the time and space in your schedule, and now you're working and really growing that practice, right? Or maybe you've been practicing meditation for years. There's a part of it that went into a winter period. Maybe you stopped for a while altogether. There was a piece of it that you let go, but you went into a winter, and then you kind of started up again, and now you're in growth. And so for each of the places that you have identified that are in a growth process right now, just take a moment and put a check by the ones that it's like no growth issues there whatsoever. It's growing exactly the way you want it to. And for some of you, maybe everything will get a check, though I doubt it. I don't think I've been ever able to do that. For some of you, maybe none of your things will get a check. No judgment, right? Not at all. I've been there as well. But just really take a moment and like assess how well things are growing, those things that are in growth phases or meant to be. So all of this brings us to the question of why. Why is it that we can have so many blocks when it comes to growing? Well, there are so many reasons, more reasons than I could even fit into a week long if this class was just, we went on and on for a week. But I want us to look at some of the biggies. So one of the biggies is the belief that growth should happen quickly or glamorously or easily without effort or look a certain way. Anyway, that is. I'm going to say it again. One of the biggest blocks to growth is and I'm going to call this a limiting belief, but it's a belief, embedded belief, that growth is supposed to happen quick, or it's supposed to be effortless or glamorous in some way, or any beliefs that we have that growth is going to look this way, whatever the this is, usually gets in our way of persistently and consistently growing something. So, in other words, somehow, I am saying we as a culture, but also personally, check this out for yourself, have, and especially I think this happens in the business coaching industry or online marketing industry, transformational industry, whatever you want to talk about it, but it happens. It's pervasive everywhere. We've gotten somehow in our minds and our soul, this idea that growth is supposed to just be like a direct, almost like when you see, you know, corporate charts where it's like a diagonal line up. It's just, you're going to start working on something and it's just, whoosh, it's going to like grow right away in this easy upward, you know, way, right? But the truth is that growth is very, very rarely looks like that. That it's this higher, you know, that something just grows and grows and grows and grows and grows and grows, right? Oftentimes, growth happens in spurts. It will maybe spurt up and then plateau, or move up just a little bit and plateau. Oftentimes, growth occurs as a cycle within a cycle. Meaning sometimes there's a growth phase or spurt, and then it slows down, and maybe then there's a small harvest or release, and then more growth happens. Of course, sometimes growth can happen more evenly than that, or it can sometimes something can take off, and this can be a block too. It takes off so quick that you can't keep up with it. But what I find by and large is one of the quickest is that we start something, we start to take action to grow it, and it doesn't happen right away or the way that we think. And then we're like, ugh, I'm not doing this the right way. This thing isn't growing. And then we start blocking ourselves. We make up stories from there, and we block ourselves from there. So take a moment and check that out for yourself, and just make a note or two around, you know, do you have any beliefs that growth should happen quickly or effortlessly or glamorously or look a certain way? And I want to speak to the effortless part. We don't want growth to be painful, right? We don't want the effort that we put into growing something to be excruciating or to be painful. But we also need to understand that 9 times out of 10, to grow anything, a relationship, a business, a project within a business, a new rate for a business, you know, a hobby, whatever it is, it takes effort. It shouldn't be painful effort again, right? But growing things takes effort. And I think sometimes, even when we know better, it's so easy to fall into the thinking of, you know, this shouldn't take as much effort as it is. You know, for me, I'll give an example, like growing my business has not been painful or excruciating, but it's taken a lot I don't know if I want to say blood, sweat, and tears, but something along those lines. You know what I mean? Like I work. I put effort in to grow my business. And even more than that, when I first started my business and I put effort in, I didn't see any growth for a while. And then there was a tipping point, but I was working persistently and consistently like the sun, you know, taking those persistent and consistent action steps, even though it was not uncomfortable, without knowing if I was going to see results, but with the belief that I was, and that it was going to take some time. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox on that now, but I want you to just inspect for yourself, like, are there places where maybe you've set yourself up to block growth because of some of these beliefs? And then let's continue to look at beliefs and misconceptions a little bit more. Because the belief or the misconception that growth should happen quickly or effortlessly or look a certain way, that's just kind of one brand of limiting beliefs or misconceptions about growth. There are, like I said earlier, so many. So here's some examples of some other misconceptions or beliefs. I'll change too much if I grow. I'm scared of growing too fast. Growth is painful and taxing. I'm just not good at growing. You've either got it or you don't, and if you don't, you're a failure. So those are just some examples. What I want to invite you to do is take a look at each of the areas that you identified are in a growth phase right now. Right, and that might even just be like a new belief or habit that you're working on, a new habit that you're working on, right? But take a look at each of the areas of growth. And for each of the areas, what do you sense your limiting beliefs around growth are that are contributing there, right, making an impact there? What are some of your own limiting beliefs about growth? Can be one of the ones that I mentioned or something else. So take a moment, consider that for yourself. For each of the areas that you identified where you're in a growth phase right now, what are the limiting beliefs around growth? All right, let's take a pause here, and I'd love to hear what's coming up for you so far. What are you seeing so far? It's star 2 to raise your hand. Renee.
Hi, Joanna. So what's interesting is I feel in some areas I'm so good at summer. Like, you know, I work out every day. I blog every day. Like, you know, when I get on something, if I've committed, like, I do it. And I know, like, I'm still waiting for results on my blog, you know, I'm like, and I just, like, do it. Like, I don't look at the metrics. I don't care, you know. And then in other things, I'm seeing, like, I'm not even taking the actions at all. Like, part of me doesn't even know what steps to take. And some of the beliefs that have come up, like, I won't be able to handle the growth. I won't be able to sustain it. I'm going to lose the space that I create for myself. It's like, sometimes I feel like all the practices I do just to, like, get myself ready to do the work, like, take up the whole day. You know, like, how am I going to handle the work and all the stuff that's going to come from it? I'm going to have to sacrifice and give up, like, myself. And the whole thing was, like, to not sacrifice myself, you know. And I'm going to have to be more visible and subject to more criticism. And I won't be able to deliver. It's like a lot of, like, I won't be able to sustain it and follow through and deliver if I do the work to grow. And so, like, better to just be in the idea of this and not disappoint people when I can't follow through. Because if I grow it and I get too big, like, it's going to take over my life.
Yeah. And so it just becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And, well,
yeah,
it's not self, but it's like, then it just doesn't, it stays in that ideation period. And though you keep yourself busy, right? Because you're planting a lot in some ways, and you're like getting ready, you're getting ready, but you're not crossing that threshold really over into summer. You're getting exhausted before you even get to the persistent and consistent.
And then the other thing I see, and I had a question about this too, is like, there are some areas where it's like, you know, you said, like, sometimes we don't see it right away, right? And it's like, so I'll see that, like, when I started retraining my body, it's like, I'm not seeing results. Even though I know it could take years, but culture says, like, 3 weeks to, like, magically transform your body, right? Mm-hmm. And when I don't see results, I work harder. And so this constant theme, it came up this morning too, this pattern I see is like, I'm doing so much, but I'm, like, doing too much. And, like, I know I'm doing too much in certain areas, and then it exhausts me for others.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
when you ask, like, how do we know, like, what's in, you asked before, like, what's growing the way you want it to, right?
Mm-hmm.
My response is, like, how do I know? Like, if you don't see, results is a lagging indicator, right? It's like, I don't know if it's growing the way I want it to. It's like, are you really asking where are we putting in the work we need to put in? Or, like, because maybe I'm putting in the work and it's going to happen and I have to believe, but maybe I'm not even doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, with my blog, I know I'm blogging,
yeah,
but I'm not promoting
it. So it's a great question. I'm glad you're bringing it up. So, yeah, we don't see the full result when we're in the growth period. Yeah, that's not till the harvesting. Possibly, it may not even happen in the harvesting. We'll get there next week. And sometimes we do have to, like, keep on persistently and consistently taking actions before there's a tipping point. But there should be some kind of either tipping point or some kind of indicators along the way that we're making some kind of progress, even if it's not the progress that we thought, right? So, you know, I'll just give one example of this. You know, let's say someone is a new entrepreneur and they've never had a prospect call. They've never had a prospect be interested in a call. And they are working on putting their messaging out there, and they take some actions, and somebody, maybe a referral comes through, and the prospect, you know, there's a prospect that's interested in their work, and they get on the call, and they totally bomb the call, and the prospect doesn't turn into a client. Well, they may not have the result of a new client, but they're still an indicator of growth because it may have taken some time, but a prospect was generated through the actions that they were taking. So I do think that it's like when we're working to grow something, we do want to see, maybe not at first, but we do want to see indicators. So like in the case of your blog, which you are really persistent and consistent at, as you said, if you're not seeing results, then the next step, so you're putting the growth work in, but it might not be all of the aligned steps for growth. One of the things we'll take a look at next week in the harvest is part of the harvest is actually doing assessments to see what's working and what's not and what needs to be tweaked about the actions that we take. And so my guess is like for something like the blog, Renee, where you are taking action, what needs to happen next is like an assessment of these are the parts of the action that I want to let go of because they're not working. These are the parts of the action or how I'm writing or how I'm letting people even know about the blog that are working, and then these are some of the new things I want to do. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I had this insight the other day. It's like years ago I studied under a teacher who talked about like inviting pursuit and not like chasing leads, and that really resonated with me. Mm-hmm. But I was like, and I've looked at her, and then I just like had an honest moment with myself, and I was like, even if you're inviting pursuit, you still have to make an invitation. Yeah. And like and it was just like, oh well, like, you know, no one, like, I like put a blog post out there and I expect people to just find it, and people do. That's but right. Like not
yeah,
as
so
many
can,
as can,
right.
And,
so you
and
can
they don't
persistently
sign up because I don't offer them anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you can do the growth work of the writing and persistently and consistently write every week and put a new blog post out there, but if you're, and that, if that's just satisfying in and of itself, that's great. You're growing your writing, right? But if the intended result is for people to see it and read it and get in touch with you about your work, there has to be something else there that's going on,
right?
That you're not growing. Yeah, I'm glad you brought all that up. Thank you. It's important.
You're welcome.
All right. Couple more shares here. Hold on. Pinball.
I just wanted to share briefly that it's like, you know, I'm excited about like looking at this season because I think that, you know, I'm so used to like stop, start.
Mm-hmm.
And with my coaching practice, but also just like the rush of an emergency and then taking leave. And that part of this is, you know, how much I get overwhelmed when I think about like all the growth.
Mm-hmm.
It just that it's like that in that overwhelm, it's like I'm taking the fun out of it, or I only see it as one thing. I only see it as like, as overwhelm or like a lot, but I don't see anything kind of like lighter or fun or exciting about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad.
Like
you're
I make it like drudgery from the get go.
Yes. Yeah. It's what you're sharing is such a big piece for so many people and a big block to growth. And that summer energy is like, when we think about persistence and consistence and the things to do in order to grow something, it's like we get tired before we even get there.
Totally.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be like that, right? Like I said earlier, it does take effort, but it doesn't have to be painful. And a lot of the difference between effort versus pain has to do with the energy and the beliefs that we bring to the things on the to-do list.
Yeah.
Good. We'll get more into that, but I'm glad you're bringing it up.
For sure.
Thank you. Right, let's see who's next here. Who is this coming up as anonymous web call? But I've taken you off mute.
Hi, I'm not sure. It might be me.
It is you, whoever you are.
Maybe you see my hand, and it's anonymous. So thank you so much for addressing my raised hand. My name is Carolina.
Hi.
Hi. And things are coming up for me with the summer, and one was the fact that I'm perceiving summer more. Look at the cycles that we perceive in the year, like we started with winter and then spring and summer. And we might have a perception that, so I'll just say this. My perception is now that summer it seems like a longer compared to the other seasons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like we perceive, okay, like spring, you know, it's they're like quadrants of the year.
So, yeah, totally. Well,
like
I love
summer.
That you're bringing. I love that you're bringing this up. It's actually so astute that you're like that or that you're bringing it up, right? It's so revealing, and I think a lot of people feel that way, right? So. You
right.
know,
it's
in
like
the
it's
days
like they're
before
shorter.
Climate change,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
like the summer was just as long as the spring was, right? Like
right.
It, it's
so,
not, but
so
we tend to feel
you know,
like
it's
so
like
much
summer.
Longer.
Well, if the things didn't show up in the summer, it's like quick, because then we go into fall and it's like, okay, now I need to harvest and I didn't get results and we get frustrated because it's like the cycle keeps going and here comes winter and that was just something that suddenly, as I was listening to you, you know, and I'm just processing that and I'm thinking, well, there may be a new perception at least happening to, you know, within me now is that summer is a longer period, a prolonged period, possibly in when we are ready to be in summer. Growing, and also at the same time, because it may be a prolonged period, then, you know, what strategies or support can we tap into to help us in this prolonged period?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that possibly collectively, we need to kind of look at, you know, because we've all been really operating in the patriarchal type of longer, like I'm doing this and it's like, it's not paying off and I have to work hard. And where for me, the other element connected to this is how are we tapping into strategies, possibly what support. I personally am looking more into being connected with sisterhood. And it's like, what is it that is going to help me or help us, but I'm speaking for myself, with sustaining myself for the appropriate time that will help me grow.
So
does that make sense? It's like a double.
It makes sense 100%. And that's definitely where we're going in today's conversation, ultimately, because the archetype of the lover actually has a lot of answers and solutions to that. So, you're on the right track 100%. And here's the other thing that I just want to share for you and for everybody that's listening. For some of our projects, growth is going to be longer. For many of our projects, growth is going to be longer. But for some, it's not. For some of us, we're going to go through longer. It'll take longer to let something go or to get something started or, you know, whatever it is. But I think you're right. By and large, the growth does take more time, but I want to also for everybody to think, I mentioned this earlier, but to just consider this, that even over a longer growth period, there's mini cycles of the four phases within that longer growth period. So I've been growing my business now for over a decade, and I still am going to continue, but I've had many harvests and many winters and many new initiations throughout that growth period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's the perception change that I think it's like a for me, it's a paradigm shift in seeing that it's not just a one phase and then it's
exactly.
Over. Okay,
yes.
What happened and did I fail?
Yes, 100%.
So, yeah.
I'm so glad that's starting to shift for you. Good. Good, good,
okay.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I look forward to listening to the rest of the call.
Thank you. Everybody's bringing forward such great, juicy pieces. I want to hear the rest of the hands raised, but we still have a lot to do. So I'm going to keep on going for now, and then we'll come back to more shares. Give me a second with the computer here. Okay. So there are a couple of other blocks that I want to mention for you to take in and think about and consider. The next one is one that we've already touched in the previous block, but I want to name it kind of as its own thing, because I know it can be so big, which is not knowing, well, I'll put it this way, equating disappointment or equating things not working out the way you want them to with failure. I'm going to say that again. Another block to being able to grow, to have that sustained energy and take the persistent and consistent action is equating disappointment or things not growing the way you thought they would or at the rate you thought they would with failure. They're two separate things, but oftentimes our minds trick us, our ego minds trick us, and say, because that hasn't yet turned out the way you wanted it to, it's a failure. So just take a moment and consider that one for yourself. Do you tend to equate disappointment with failure, things not turning out as you expected in the pace that you expected as failure? Next block, and this is a biggie, especially because, as Carolina just mentioned, you know, growth can take a long time. And it takes, right, that persistent and consistent action, like the summer, the sun that rises every day. And so the next block is disconnection from desire and excitement around whatever you're growing. Disconnection from the desire to grow what you want to grow, or the excitement around it. So you can either be disconnected from your desire and from your excitement about it because you never had it in the first place, Like it's a project that you never, you know, in the foundation period, in the planting period, in the initiation, you know, you already started it off as a should instead of an I really want this and knowing why and feeling it, right? Or it could be that because you've been growing it for so long, you've become disconnected. Like, I love my children dearly, but I feel like I've been raising them for so long, and in the hardest of moments, I sometimes forget, like, why I'll turn to my husband and say, why did we decide to have children, right? And it's a joke, and it's funny, but it's like I actually do in those moments, because it's so hard, right, need to connect myself back to the deep why, right? Like, why is it that we are doing this, right? What is the love here? What is the desire? You know, let me get connected back in, not to the shoulds, but to the deep why, to the vision, to the desire. It's really hard to commit to persistent and consistent growing if the desire isn't there, if we've lost the fire, right? That's why I love that it's like the sun is a big ball of fire, right? It might work. It might put a lot of effort out to shine all the time, to show up every day, but it's fueled by fire, by desire. You know, by heat, to want to do it. So when we become disconnected from that desire, from the fire, which is, you know, I just want to point out, not to split hairs, but this may be valuable or helpful for some of you. It's a different energy than spring energy, right? Like spring energy is kind of like more of the light excitement and new and, you know, all of that. Summer excitement is more of that fiery desire, you know, like depth of excitement and desire. We need that deeper desire to sustain growth. And we certainly cannot sustain growth if our desire has been replaced with shoulds or have-tos or need-tos about the project. Because that can happen sometimes too, like back to the process of raising my children, you know, helping my children grow. Sometimes the desire, right, the shoulds are all there, and I'm disconnected from the desire. You know, like, I should make sure that they blah, 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 or they should be learning in this way, or parenting should look like this, or, you know, I should wake up earlier every morning to help them, blah, 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 right, whatever those things are. So for each of the projects that are in a growth phase for you right now, take a look at them. On a scale of 1 to 10, how connected are you, just truthfully, to your desire and your deep why, W-H-Y, like the deep reason why you're growing this thing, your passion for it, right? So on a scale of 1 to 10 for each of those projects in the growth phase, how connected are you to your desire, to your passion, to your deep why, to your fire around it? Then from there, how was desire modeled for you as a child? How did your parents or guardians or authority figures model or not model desire and passion for you as a child? Next question, what did you learn or not learn about desire and passion as a child? What did you learn or not learn about desire and passion as a child? Next question, what are some of the limiting beliefs that you have about desire, passion, this fiery excitement? What are some limiting beliefs you've got about desire, passion, fiery excitement? For some of us, not all of us, but for some of us, in one way or another, we were shamed at some point or other for being deeply in our desire for something. Okay, and then last block that I want to quickly take a look at is not knowing how to take care of ourselves. Not knowing how to take care of ourselves. So what is this block about? It's particularly, I mean, we want to take care of ourselves through any of the phases, but it relates to growth in particular. This goes back to what Carolina was mentioning a few minutes ago, that in order to sustain growth, we need to sustain ourselves, right? So part of what's going to sustain growth, like we said, is the desire. It's also the foundations that we set in the spring, right? But we need to be taking care of ourselves, nurturing ourselves through the persistent and consistent work of the summer. Taking care of ourselves might mean, like, literally making sure we eat enough, get enough sleep, take our vitamins, you know, all of that. But then there are also the other ways that we take, you know, that we take care of ourselves, right? Is community needed? Is, you know, for me, like doing my soul work, you know, journaling, ritual, connecting with spirit, I need that kind of self-care in order to sustain any kind of growth. So when we are not persistent and consistent with our self-care, and I don't mean that necessarily in a regimented way, but whatever it takes to sustain us, we don't have the fire that can take us through the summer. So just one question on this for now. How well do you persistently and consistently take care of yourself, you know, your body, your psyche, your mind, your soul? How well do you persistently and consistently take care of yourself when you're in a growth phase? No judgment, right? This isn't for you to judge yourself or beat up on yourself or have your inner critic go wild on yourself or your perfectionist go wild on yourself, right? No, this is just for loving awareness. Because once you bring, and this is a coaching principle, right? Once you can bring something into awareness, you have more choice with what to do about it. Okay. So, as you probably guessed where we're going, one of the antidotes to having trouble with summer and growth is the energy of the lover. The energy of the lover. Now, before I talk about the lover, I just want to say one thing. Sometimes when I teach about the cycles, when it comes to summer and growth, we look at the archetype of the mother. Not the lover. We look at the archetype of the mother. The mother covers a lot of the self-care, nurturing pieces. The lover does a little bit too. But I want to, for this course, this time, I wanted to focus specifically on the lover, because the lover has some things to teach us that the mother, you know, might not. So the lover is one of, the energy of the lover is one of the antidotes to trouble with growth, with summer. The lover who is deeply connected to her desire and to her fire. She has a hunger for that which she loves. She's hungry for it. She has a deep, deep wanting of the thing that she loves. Now, this lover is not making up a story about herself if she doesn't get all that she wants. She's just connected into the desire and the want, the fire, the pleasure of being with her beloved. She has take so much pleasure in being with her beloved that when she is with her beloved, she is fully focused on it, on the beloved. She doesn't forget to focus on her love. She doesn't skip a day, metaphorically. She doesn't get distracted away from her beloved because it gives her pleasure, because she has so much desire, because she loves it so much, even when the sex maybe isn't as good as other days. The lover has compassion for her beloved. She sees her beloved's flaws, but she doesn't harp on them. She doesn't cut her beloved down because of inevitable flaws. She loves it all. And maybe most importantly, the lover has a conscious relationship with her beloved. She is in relationship with the beloved, and she knows that the relationship is a two-way street that takes communication and tending to and love. Right, so we can think of that beloved as another person or as a project, whatever it is. One thing I didn't mention about the lover: she feels totally sexy when she is focusing on her beloved. All right, so take a moment. What are you seeing for yourself so far as we kind of tiptoe into the lover? What are you seeing so far as we tiptoe into the lover and how it relates to the things that you're working to grow right now? Next question, is there anything that you fear about the lover or about stepping into the energy of the lover? Is there anything that you fear about the lover or about stepping into the archetypal energy of the lover? Whatever that is may be related to our earlier discussion about desire, whatever came through the questions there. But see, may or may not. Is there anything that you fear about the lover or stepping into the archetypal energy of it? Yes, of course we want the energy, but is there anything about it that you fear at the same time? in one more question and we'll do some experiential work. What would it mean to make love to the projects that you've got in the growth phase right now? What would it mean to make love to the projects that you've got in the growth phase right now? You know, I just want to say the lover that I described is the most exalted version of the lover. When we've got our lover in shadow, when we've repressed our lover or disconnected from our lover, one of two things can happen. Either our lover is devoid of the fire, of the desire, of the hunger, of the focus on the beloved, or it's the complete opposite. There's too much hunger, so much hunger for the lover that for the beloved that the lover doesn't eat, right? Doesn't take care of herself. So much focus that there's no focus on anything else. So much fire that there's not earth also, or water, right? Okay. All right, so let's take all of this a step further and connect in with our lover energy. Take a moment, close your eyes. Feel the ground beneath you. Come to your breath, come to your body. With each inhale, come more into your body. Really be present to yourself, to your body, to this moment. Using the breath not only to connect with your body, but with your wisdom and with all that you hold inside. Breathing through the heart, into the belly, and back up again. As you breathe in this way, I invite you to call your lover to come before you. So your archetype of the lover, your inner lover. So call down the energy of the lover in human form to come before you. And take a moment, really take in your archetypal lover. Notice how old this one is. Notice what this one wears. How they wear their hair. Notice the expression on your inner lover's face and how your inner lover holds their body. Notice the energy that they carry. Really connect. Connect in with your inner lover. And you can also, you can connect through the eyes, and you can also connect through the hands through the touch. Take their hands in yours. You can even almost breathe together. Asking your lover, your inner lover, what event or series of events buried you or parts of you inside of me? So what are the events or series of events in your life that buried your lover or parts of your lover inside of you? That disconnected you from the full force of your lover. Let's see what your lover has to say. Taking another deep breath in, connecting even more deeply through the eyes, through the hands with your inner lover. And ask your inner lover, what is it that they want you to know about growth and growing your projects? What do they want you to know about growth and growing your projects? Continuing to connect with your inner lover, connect deeply, really be with your inner lover, and ask your inner lover who on the outside, so who that you know, or what part of yourself do you need to forgive in order to be able to grow your projects or be more in growth. So who, someone in your family, friend, colleague, or what part of yourself needs to be forgiven so that you're more free to be in growth? Next question, continue to connect with the inner lover and ask your inner lover, what can you do over this next week to connect more deeply with your desire? What can you do over this next week to connect more deeply with your desire? Then ask your lover if there's anything around your projects, any actions it wants you to take this week around your projects that are growing. And take another moment, really connect deeply with your inner lover. And watch, your inner lover is going to raise one of their hands. And that hand has the exact amount and type of fire that you need right now. That hand has the exact amount and type of fire that you need right now. And ask your inner lover to place that hand anywhere on your body that needs the fire the most. And allow yourself to take in the exact amount and type of fire that you need right now. Feel it as it comes in. Continue to absorb it, absorb that fire energy exactly where you need it the most. You'll know when you've gotten it, when it's been fully transmitted. Or fully transmitted for now. And then take a moment and really thank your inner lover for their presence and their wisdom and their energy and their fire and their desire. And then for now, just let them fade into the distance, knowing that for this encounter, you've received the energy that you need from them. And allow your eyes to flutter open. And take a moment and jot down anything that you want to jot down that came through that experience with your inner lover. Okay, so I want to hear what's coming through. We looked at a lot today. I'd love to hear what's coming through. What are you seeing? What are you learning? What questions you have? But before that, I want to give you your homework, and then we'll step into our share and our Q&A time, and you know, so you get whatever you need. But I've got a couple pieces of homework. So number one, I want to invite you to write a letter, a love letter. I want you to, here's actually the instructions. On your own time, I want you to take a moment, close your eyes, and call down the energy of your inner lover, like, into you. Fully embody and step in to the energy of your inner lover. You might be able to get there just by closing your eyes and calling in that energy, or you may want to put on some lover music and move into that energy, like we did with the Destroyer, right? So, but however you want to do it, move in, embody the lover energy. And then from that energy, I want to invite you to write a love letter to a project that's currently in the growth phase or about to go into the growth phase, like it's ready to, right? So it's either in it or ready to. And from your lover, write that love letter to the project and just let as much that wants to pour out, pour out. Expression of love, desire, hunger, as well as wisdom, suggestions, whatever wants to come through. The wisdom, the suggestions are great if they happen to come through, but that's actually not as important as embodying the lover energy and being in relationship with your project, right? What we often tend to do is not do the lover with our projects, but instead we make our projects like the other, and we're almost disconnected from them in a strange way, even if we think about them all the time, right? Let's make this a relationship, a conscious relationship with the projects that you're working on. So that's one piece of homework. I am going to also, over the week, share one, maybe two supplemental exercises to continue moving into the embodiment pieces. And if you want to go deeper, just aside from all of the wisdom that came through today with your own clients, make a list of each of your clients. And from your perspective, we always need to have the conversation with our clients, right? But from your perspective, assess, you know, where they're at with summer and growth based on all of the pieces that we looked at today so that you can start to kind of maybe see some things that you hadn't yet seen that can be helpful for your clients. Okay, so with that, take a moment, write down what are you taking away for yourself from our call today. We looked at a lot. And I'd love to, we have time now to hear takeaways, to hear questions that came up just through whatever was coming through, or any other business Q&A, anything you want to ask me. And as always, please also post takeaways in the Facebook group. So star two, who would like to share or get support or has a question? Star two. Kayla.
Hey, Joanna.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, so this was so interesting to think about the lover. All that you listed, all of her qualities, and I know you said that's like her in her highest light or in her best light. But what it really shed light on for me was as a lover, you know, in partnership with someone, I'm very good at like doing all of that for them, right? But there's a person out there that I'm doing all this with and for and all of that. And it's for myself too, but you know, on my healthiest days. But there is that other. And it was so interesting to try to put that same amount of like love and devotion and caring for something that I'm doing for myself, like being that lover for myself. Because then it just brought up all this stuff about how selfish I'm being and I'm not available for those around me who I am in real relationship with. And then I remember when you were talking about the shadow side of that, and it's like sometimes I just won't do that then for my projects because I need to be available for these other people in my life. But then I get so resentful and so
dissatisfied. That you're not really available for them in the ways that you want anyway. When you're resentful. Yeah, that's why I wanted to mention the shadow side of the lover, like the hyper, right? Because sometimes we can be scared of the lover because we're scared the fire is going to like eat us up, right? And we're not going to have any energy left over for any other thing. But it doesn't have to be that way if we're working with aligned lover energy.
Say more about that.
Yeah, so like the aligned lover, right, like the one I described, she's focused on her beloved, but she also makes sure that she feeds herself. She goes to work, you know what I mean? Like, she's not in bed all day. Maybe over a weekend, right? But it's like, if she has control over the fire doesn't have control over her. And so I could be wrong, and you can tell me, but I have a sense, Ayla, that if you were to actually be in relationship to the project that you want to grow or whatever it is that you want to grow in the way you were just talking about and be the lover and feel the fire for it and tend to it, that you wouldn't realistically, you're not going to stop caring for the people that you're meant to care for.
Right, right. There may be some adjusting that's needed.
Say that again?
There may be some adjusting that's needed.
Yeah.
You know, because I haven't been in balance, perhaps, you know, and some new boundaries or some new, and communication with them about what's changing or what, you know.
Yeah, 100%. That's right. It will shift and rebalance out, right? But again, remember, so that's like a winter in a way, right? Like a part of however you're in relationship with a person is going to maybe fall away, but then it makes way for the rebirth, right, of that relationship too. Like what's possible on the other side of that, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
Good. I'm so glad all of this is coming through.
Yeah, me too. There's a lot of good stuff in here for me, so. Thank you so much.
And you clearly have access to your aligned lover energy because, you know, as you were saying, like with the relationship in your life, so it's right there for you.
So much, yeah.
Yeah, you get to use it.
And it's not like my partner, he's like, yes, do it, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's holding me back. It's totally old family patterns that's holding me back, you know. So.
Yeah, good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. All right, who is this? 6004.
Hi, Joanna. It's Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
So something I've wanted to bring forward in a lot of the sessions that I've been resistant to is that whenever you ask how something was modeled as a child, I have a real resistance because I feel like until today, and this is what I wanted to share, I feel like I'm getting down on my parents, like they didn't do good enough or the opposite, they did their best, so I shouldn't be judgmental of them. So I really struggle and I kind of mostly zone out in those parts, like sorry, but you know, but today, because you talked about the block of equating disappointment to failure, I was like, yes. And I think that's, like, I needed that to come to light because I can be disappointed.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I can feel disappointment, but it doesn't mean my parents were failures. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. And
you did that part. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you go ahead. And what?
I was going to say, after that part, because the next journaling prompt was, how is desire modeled to you for as a child? For the first time ever, I was able to write on one of these
I love it.
I said, It wasn't, like, and not from a judgment place, but it wasn't. Like, all that came through was don't get your hopes up because you don't want to get disappointed. So it's better not to invest and not be disappointed than
to try and fail. That's right. So first of all, I'm so glad that that came through. And it feels like a really, even the piece right before that around the equating disappointment with failure and how this relates to how you see your parents, that feels like a massive breakthrough to me, Suzanne, right? Because of course your parents are wonderful. I shouldn't say of course, but based on what you're saying, of course they're wonderful and loving and did an amazing job with you. But don't apply myth of perfection to them. And it is actually helpful for you as well as helpful for your relationship with them to be able to also see, like, where are the places that I didn't get modeled, or, you know, whatever it is. So I'm so glad all that came through for you.
And then following, the other thing I just wanted to share was when you were saying how well do you persistently and consistently take care of yourself in the growth phase, and the penny dropped is that I don't. Like when I'm preparing in spring, I'm preparing to do something, I'm really good. And when I'm in winter and resting, recovering, I'm really good. But when I'm actually getting stuff done, I put everybody and everything ahead of myself, and then I get resentful and fall over.
Yeah. I'm so glad you can see that, right? So it's good to take those winter breaks, but we also want to, you know, when we're in the growth phase, it's almost like taking mini winters, again, cycles within cycles. So when we're in an overarching growth phase, we still need the mini winters of the rest or the taking care, you know, whatever it is. Some of it's about winter, and then some of it is just like feeding the fire, right? Fueling the fire.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm so glad. I'm so glad all of that became clear.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Who is this? 4518.
Leah.
Hi, Leah.
Hello. Yeah, so I just want to kind of reflect on something that came up for me. It's not so much a question, but I've been thinking this whole session a lot about how growth looks. So I've always looked up to certain business owners, like entrepreneurs, who seem like really badass. Like they seem like they're really good at getting through tough times and growth, and they make growth look really sexy. So I think I fear growth because I haven't been able to see how my version of growth will look and feel as sexy and full of desire as what we're fed to believe. And I think part of that is because of what we see on social media. So you see other people
100%.
talking afterwards about how hard growth was for them. But I don't really experience what it looked like in the moment, and I feel like a lot of people don't share how it feels in those moments, because I think my own growth will be really messy. And in a way that's also brought stuff up because it contradicts how I feel about change, because I know myself that other people look at me and have thought that I look like I'm really empowered and strong and like taking ownership, when I know underneath that growth isn't always beautiful and sexy.
Yeah. 100%. I'm so glad you can see that. And this is why, like, I can get on a soapbox about this, but I feel like a lot of the transformational industry, for as wonderful as it is, sometimes some of the people are really doing a disservice to so many others that are watching them, because they're kind of projecting a myth of perfection that just is not true. There is no perfection in general. Human beings cannot be perfect, and particularly in growth, it is messy. You know, it is. And so I think it's so important that you can see that, Leah, because now, like, the more that you can just own that is your truth and a truth, then the less energy you're going to spend beating up on yourself, which means that you have more fire energy to devote to the actual growth.
Yeah. That's nice. A good place to feel.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Jessica.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So first of all, I related to everything everyone just said on some level. But I thought it was really interesting what you said about choosing the lover for today instead of the mother, because I realized that really got to the heart of something, because I had a very, very hard time connecting into the image of the lover at all. And what I realized, and I mean, it's not that I don't think I love lots of things. Like, I actually think of myself as someone who loves a lot of things. But what I realized when I was listening to this was that I think when there are projects, like in terms of the summer phase, when there are projects that are kind of a should project, like either, you know, something where somebody else gave me a goal or someone else gave me permission or someone else has an expectation or I feel like I'm being a good person, then I have no problem with growth. Like if I feel like, I don't know, like I always sort of thought, oh, you know, I don't know if I'm really a leader, but like when I'm doing work for, volunteer work type stuff, I have no problem stepping into a leadership role in situations because I kind of have this mindset behind it, like someone's got to do this for the good of the world, like it's just something really important that's got to be done, and I feel like I'm, like no one's going to say, why did you step in, but I realized that when it's just because of my own passion for something, that's when I have a really hard time being persistent. And it's like such a theme. And I realized that, you know, it's like I'm always trying to come up with, it's almost like I loved school. I was really good at school because everyone told me you have to do this. So like no matter how challenging it was, I was like, well, I have to do it. So of course I'm going to be persistent.
Yeah. That feels like a really, that could be a paradigm shifter for you, Jessica, you know, to just really start to notice more how you're showing up for those projects that are really just about your desire and your passion, and to focus less shameful fire in that direction. It feels like there is some fire, you know, because the desire's there, but it's filled with, there's shame that's kind of like rolling around in it. So really start to become more aware of that.
Right. And I mean, can throw in one more thing. Like you were asking what we learned from our parents, and I realized, I mean, this is something I've known, but I just connected it in with this, that, you know, I feel like my parents, especially my dad, was someone who was incredibly successful and talented at something that like was sort of, he started to pursue from the time he was very young. And it was like his career just sort of went almost magically. Like he was a tenured professor at the age of 25. And you know, he's the kind of person who would work even when he was at the beach, like he would just always be working, but like not in a stressed out way. And so I think the message that I got was like, you know, that first of all, that like it was essential to even be an acceptable human being that you had a complete passion, and then that passion was equated with talent. So I think I just spent a huge amount of time with every time I was passionate about something, wondering if I was, you know, allowed to be passionate about it, because like, if it weren't really a gift, then forget it. Which is why the shoulds are so comforting to me, because I'm like, oh, I don't have to worry about whether I'm talented. I can just do it because someone told me to do it.
I'm so glad that you're connected. That feels like ding, 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 like really important. Good.
Yeah, but if you have any tips on how to break out of that.
Yeah, well, so again, that love letter that I was talking about, focus it on a project that is from your desire, you know, not a should, and start to become, like, really, again, like what I was saying is taking the shame, you know, becoming more aware, taking the shame out of the fire for that project, like really start watching it, Jessica, and being aware and adjusting your thoughts and feelings around it, you know, in the moment. Like now that you've become aware of it in this container, bring it out into your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good. Let me know how it goes.
Thank you.
Joni.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I have my mute on. So one thing that really came out for me was just how much my belief around growth is connected to this idea that it's going to be painful and taxing. and just really looking at the models in my family origin around how my parents, and actually beyond my parents, so many of the adults in my life growing up, how their relationship to passion and desire often left me feeling very, maybe personally neglected, but also just seeing how they, in their passion and commitment to their work and to their projects, neglected and, left behind a lot of important components to their lives. So I grew up feeling like, okay, so in order to be in passion and in desire with something, it will mean that I have to neglect all these other things. And I think that I've really put desire into shadow, especially around my work. Mm-hmm. But also in some of my relationships as well, because I have this real fear that that it's going to take over my life. And so I don't want to lose these other parts of my life, whether it's my self-care or my kids or, you know, just my other relationships. I'm so afraid. So I think that I've really kind of limited desire around or the passion for my projects because I'm afraid it's going to completely take over my life. I'm trying to think what I wrote. I wrote something else. Yeah, I think it's just that it's all consuming. And so I don't have a real model for healthy commitment. It's an all or nothing experience.
Yeah. That makes so much sense. And you can tell me if this is helpful or not, but this is just what was coming up for me as you were speaking. Like the all-consuming, you know, that's back mm-hmm. to that one side of the shadow of the lover, right? The like, mm-hmm. with so much fire and all of that. Well, mm-hmm. it's been, I don't want to say this is a truth with a capital T, but I can say this has been my truth and also like so many people I've supported that, you know, if they cross over to that shadowy side, mm-hmm. is that it's usually because it's not because aligned desire is all-consuming, but it becomes all-consuming when we become too attached to it and then mm-hmm. make up stories about ourselves if we don't have it. So it's almost like, to use the metaphor of the lover, like the jealous lover. Like if she thinks she's going to mm-hmm. lose her beloved or her beloved is going to cheat on her, you know, this and that, she, you know, then she becomes like even more desirous and focusing more.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's
that
so interesting.
Help for you to think of it that way?
Yeah, absolutely. Because actually, I think it was a previous caller, a few calls back, maybe her name was Leah, I don't remember. She was talking about how, you know, looking at social media and seeing these stories and about all these people's successes and how they related to growth, and it set up this myth of perfection. I feel like that's a big part of it for me as well. And I haven't really connected the dots to that idea of perfection and also that over, you know, consuming quality that I fear. So I feel like there's like a relationship there between needing it to look a certain way and then also fearing that that's the only way it has to be.
Yes. Yeah. Good. I feel like some things are going to come from these connections that you're making. Continue to be with them. Yeah. Good.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I want to honor that we're at time, but I also see that there are a couple other hands raised, and I've got about 5-10 minutes left, so I'm going to keep on going, get as many hands as I can. Who is this in Charlotte? Is that Kara? 5471.
That's me, Kara.
Hi, Kara.
Hi. So I just want to say quickly to the group, I know I've been very quiet on Facebook, but I have been working with all of these, and I do plan to go back and catch up on the questions. It's really been interesting to see how many things between the seasons are connected, and I feel like I've been in a really interesting place the last couple of months with feeling like I'm in multiple phases at the same time, like like a tornado of seasons in a way. Like there are so many, especially just in this past couple of months with this quarantine, feeling like the business was going into winter and then like hurry up and get back into spring, and now we're back in the summer because like it's almost like every week we're in a new season in a way. But there's been a lot of interesting breakthroughs, and something that came through for me today, which I found really, not really enlightening because I feel like I kind of already knew it, obviously, because it's coming through me. But when you were describing like the lover and we were sort of working with what she had to say, like I actually was seeing myself as like the other woman in the relationship. For me was interesting because it's very specifically in the context of my business. Is that I took over someone else's business. Like I bought a business that was already established. I stepped into a community that I was a part of, but I didn't like grow it from the ground up. And I sort of took it over like it was going to become mine, and it is. And I feel like I've sort of been just playing the part of the woman, and it feels like I'm living in someone else's lover's house. Like it's like you're the other woman that came in, and you're walking around in the house like this isn't my house.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I've become very disconnected in a sense from my desire. And so when you were talking about like what can you do to be more connected to your desire, I think that's probably where my energy needs to go, because it's not that I don't want to be here, but it's that I've sort of just become disconnected from what is it that I want, and how can this become and evolve into what I want. And at the same time, feeling like this whole crash of the business because of COVID and all this is like, it's giving me permission to say like, well,
it's allowing
the house just burned down. So guess what? I'm going to build a new one and I can do it however I want. Cause there's
100%
like, no expectations.
So first of all, even though you already knew this, I can feel that it's like, it's integrating like the awareness and the understanding of this is like, you know, like it's integrating inside of you. You're seeing it so clearly. And I think the metaphor of the other woman, you know, like it's hard. It's so hard, but I'm so happy that it came through. Yes to everything that you're saying. And so, you know, number one, what you said, you know, build your desire, right? And take your rightful place as a lover. And owner, and then from there, harvest. So anything that's working in the business that you feel like you can take ownership of, and you know all of that, awesome. But and then from there, winter. Anything that is not desirous for you, even if it worked before with the old owner, that's time for that to be released, so that you can get to the next evolution of what the business is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you're talking about the part about your, what is, have you learned from your family, for me, there was just this modeling of desire is great as long as you're desiring the things you're supposed to be desiring.
Right.
Like, not only that, but you're expected to cultivate a desire for these specific things.
Right. So I bet you that's being projected into certain places in the business too.
For sure. For sure. Which then ties back into the visibility. And last week I really had an interesting break, not really a breakthrough, but just like feelings around the spring, because I kept going back to when we were talking about how how spring starts in the dark, and how like I have been in the dark this last couple of months with, you know, like as a country, as a world we have been, but like very specifically with not having any way of projecting forward, like what are we doing, what's going to happen, and just being so
uncomfortable in the dark, but then it's almost like, I don't know, a blessing in a way for my lover to be able to say, like, well, you know, maybe we just have to use this time to start over, in a sense, like,
yeah,
completely.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just what came through for me, but I felt like that was kind of a funny
picture
of yourself as like the other woman.
I'm so glad that came through. I think it's really important. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks, Joanna.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna take one more hand up. Naomi. Oh wait, that wasn't the right hand. That was Jessica. Good. Hold on. Naomi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much for our call today. I found the work with the lover really profound. Mm. And my vision of the lover was really beautiful because I didn't realize that she was the lover. But when my daughter was born, I had this powerful vision. Her name is Soraya Raven. And I had this powerful vision of her as this raven, and I was flying on top of her, and I had this vision of myself with long, I don't have black hair, but in this vision, I had long black hair, and we were just flying together and soaring with just such depth and clarity. And that's who came to me today. That was a vision of my inner lover. And it was so beautiful because my daughter, I see her as so, she's only four, you know, but she's so in her body and so deeply expressive. She's like constantly just wanting to be naked. And I just, so it was really interesting to see like that,
that
equation of,
it's almost like you, there was a part of you when you named her that knew that you needed like a reminder and a holder of this energy for you. I love that.
Yeah. And then something really powerful. One of my growth projects that needs a lot of conscious relationship work is a play that I've been working on. Well, in the research phase for, I guess, over 3 years, and you know, now I told myself, May, this is my, I'm going to start writing, even if it's the worst play to start, I just need to get something out. So what was really powerful was when you asked us, what is block, I don't know how you phrase it because I was really deep in it, but what was blocking the lover, or what is, what came up was not feeling safe, and an experience, a sexual experience that happened when I was 15, you know, that like was just awkward and just, I was uncomfortable and kind of felt violating. You know, afterwards, and when I ended the relationship, because in it, it was just awkward and weird. But then later, you know, I shut down, something really shut down in me. And it was never really, you know, expressed or discussed until, I guess way later I looked at it, but the play is actually dealing with exactly that topic. And a 15-year-old Jewish girl at summer camp juxtaposed with a 15-year-old girl at a concentration camp. And it is looking at sexual trauma. So I don't consider my own experience of sexual trauma, yet just this, I can tap into just that sense of unsafety and what blocks growth and the lover and expression. So it was just really powerful that as I'm wanting for the growth.
Synchronicity, yes. And the play sounds amazing.
I can't wait.
Bring it out into the world.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for this guidance.
Yeah, thank you. All right, everyone, sending you a big hug. I know there are other hands raised, but I also want to honor our time. So please post in the Facebook group. You know I will answer everything. Thank you for all of your presence today. And I will be thinking about you all as you explore your lover energy this week. And I'll be sharing some other tools with you as the week goes on. So I'll talk to you soon. Bye.